If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the love of the One Divine Self. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Tonight our topic is, you are the source of divine abundance, riches, wealth. So, to begin with, I would like to lead us in a meditation, but I want to preface it for a moment or two with a realization that I just had. I've never heard it voiced before, and I'm certain it's accurate, that in the center of our local universe is a tree of life. And on that tree of life, there is a spiritual program for each of nine different universes. And each one of the nine programs has to do with one of the ninefold fruit of the Holy Spirit. In our local universe, in our tree of life, the fruit that we as a solar system, as a local galaxy, and as a local universe, the fruit that we are designed to embody, partake of, embody, and replicate on the tree of life is love. So this is a love universe, a love galaxy, a love solar system, and this planet, when it moves into sacred status, when it merges with its soul, which is Venus, it will become a sacred planet. So, there we go. Let's take a deep breath from across the universe and breathe the breeze that flows from the tree of life. And allow it to surcharge every cell of your being, every strand of your DNA, every single quark of your being with life more abundant, with the riches and the wealth and the goodness of the all that is. Allow healing and shalom, complete wholeness, to flow through every single cell of your being, simply dissolving anything that is not life-promoting. Allow each cell to ring and sing the sacred names of the Most High. And remember, your name is also a name of the Most High. And your form gives visible evidence of the formless love of the all that is. And take another deep breath from the center of the universe, from the tree of life. And we allow the rearticulation of our understanding of our own self-worth, our own worthiness, and worthwhileness that is not our own, but is that which comes from who and what we are as part of God. And as we partake of that and allow that to displace any lesser self-definitions, we express a sense of release and relief and soaring gratitude that we are what we are eternally. And take one more deep breath from across the universe and the Tree of Life. We allow a setting of a new template that enables us to source in a greater degree than ever before all the goodness, all the abundance, all of the riches and wealth that is the largesse of an abundant and ever fruitful universe. And we thank the all that is with the all that we are. Amen. So to begin with, look around your living space and just notice what you have a great abundance of. And then begin to reflect on you personally. What do you have a great abundance of? And you can look at this in several different levels. Physically, you might have health, friends, resources, material goods, energy, strength, endurance, skills, abilities, talents. You know you have a smile. You have friendship. You have the ability for loyalty, commitment, partnership. And you can care and nurture. You have the ability to give selfless service and to give a helping hand to those in need. And you can give something also very precious that demonstrates your love, and that's your time and your attention. Listening can be a tremendous gift that you give another. Materially, you may have money, food, accommodation. You may have the ability to lend support, transportation, ability to fund, sponsor, contribute, tithe, donate, seed, invest, build, administer. Many, many material things that we can be giving. Spiritually, we have love, laughter, joy, peace, knowledge, wisdom, understanding, inspiration, encouragement, faith, enthusiasm. The list goes on. So you learn what you teach, and you teach what you are. So teach only love, because love is who and what you are. We as a light team are actually here to learn and then to demonstrate to the watching world the higher laws of sourcing, of abundance, of riches, and of wealth that is used in the name of the One and on behalf of the One. Heretofore, it's been used in the sense of a separative self. This is mine. That means it's not yours. This house is mine. This money is mine. This land is mine. This country is mine. This religion is mine. This God is mine. And the more we build up these fences of mineness, me and mine, the more the ego creates a world of conflict, lack, duality, and despair, and spawns endless wars to protect the things that we call ours exclusively. So the whole paradigm that we're moving into is one of the unified fields of Christ consciousness in which we only see another's good the same as our own. And we would never want for another what we would not want for ourselves, and we would never extend to another what we wouldn't want to have extended to us. So did you ever notice that you pray to God and then God sends people. Yeah, God always sends a person. You say a prayer, and God will send a person. Because people, you and I, are the means that God uses to answer prayers. Can you recall a time when you knew you were in answered prayer? I had that encounter last month. I went into a dentist's office, and when he found out who I was and what I did, he said, "Oh, for heaven's sakes, I prayed to God for an activator because I want to take my next step spiritually." And I said, "Well, that's what I do." And we've developed a wonderful friendship because he's a very avid seeker of truth. And I might add, quite an enlightened man also. So there are certain principles here that we're going to look at tonight. And to begin with, as a practice, whatever you have from this moment on, give it abundantly. Give it forth freely, abundantly. And when I say freely, I mean freely in the spirit of no withheld energy. The Course of Miracles has several statements that accentuate this. To have all, give all to all. All that is given to myself. We are one life, and that we share with God. I bless my brother who is one with me. Let me remember that I am one with God, that there is no life but God's. That's an important point to remember, that the life you call your own is really not your life, it's life. So we think many problems on this earth, but according to the Course in Miracles, no matter what form it takes, the only problem is one of a perception of separation. And the only solution is to see us all as one, one life, one spirit. And in the Course in Miracles, that's called receiving the atonement or at-one-ment. In other words, the restoration of our mind back to wholeness in the unified field. So however it looks in the manyness of this busy-seeming world, remember there's only one of us here. One divine spirit expressing through each and every human form. So it's our illusion of seeing problems when really none exist. There are no problems. So to redefine the whole problematic kind of approach to life, we end cycle on talking about problems, and we see them more as things that we're working with, energetics, energy, processes, that we are flowing the informational facilitation into to source it into ever more lovely and workable and flowing forms of energy. There's no problems. There's no lack. Another metaphor for beginning to understand the oneness is one I like very much. It's to regard divine spirit as an electrical current and the many forms moving about in the world as light bulbs. One current, many light bulbs. And the light bulbs have varying degrees of wattage. We would call that the degree of spiritual integration that a person has attained. Some bulbs aren't lit up at all. There's no current flowing in them. They're not plugged in. So they, these people are people who are still very asleep. And they've been There's been no integration as a higher principle, so basically they're living a subhuman level of life or an animal level of life. They're not truly human yet. And then there's a small light bulb with low wattage, less light, and this would be the human ego mind state. It's beginning to shine a little bit, but it's shining out of the biophysical energy fields and not through the illumined state of the higher consciousness. And then you have degrees of huge spotlights, brighter and brighter and brighter. And these are the spiritually awake and integrated superhumans. You transcend the human state. You go from the third kingdom through the fourth and into the fifth kingdom of nature, and you become, at that point, a superhuman. So this is the process that the current is flowing into the many light bulb forms that we call human beings here in time and space. I remember when I was in a boarding school in Pasadena, and I can remember lying in bed at night and watching the huge floodlights or spotlights, whatever you call them, great big humongous spotlights that would send light beams high up into the sky. And they were always used to advertise motion picture premieres or other, you know, gala Hollywood events. And it would fascinate me. And I would wonder why the light would stop at a certain point, because somehow I knew that light traveled eternally. Even as a child, I had certain knowledge that came in with me. And I also began to experiment with light at a very young age, rubbing my eyes and pressing my eyelids, as many kids do. And I would notice that light patterns would appear. And then when I'd close my eyes, sometimes I'd see flashes of light behind my eyelids or in my third eye. And in that way, when I was a very young child, I discovered that light was inside me, inside my head. And I've always loved bright lights and spotlight, even when I was a performer. I loved to be in very bright light. And I love bright lights in my home. Even sleeping was better for me with the lights on. So I noticed everything always looked brighter and happier and easier to accomplish in the light of morning and in the light in general. And it was quite a bit later that I learned and then realized that I am the light. Light is who I am. And light and life and awareness and creative intelligence are all one and the same. They're all God manifesting in you as you. See, that's the beauty of it. You are God's incarnation as you are. Your unique personality, your quirks of character and nature, your preferences, all of it is the uniquely begotten Son of God that you are. So we can make an acronym of the word God, G, generator of divinity. G-O-D, generator of divinity. So in a sense, we are the way that God moves and generates divinity and makes it visible in time and space. God is the source of our divinity, and when that divinity is consciously sourcing through us, that is what we could call abundance. And when Jesus, we reflect on his statement when he said, I have come that you might have life, and that more abundant. So once you have your mind restored, your lights turned on, your original wholeness again made manifest in your life. After you've been forgiven and have accepted that forgiveness, from then on your life is about forgiving. You are a source, a divine conduit to source others. And you become a source of giving in the world. In other words, again, a generator of divinity. You are electrified, illumined, lit up, a light in this world. So you always give of your overflowing of riches and wealth of abundance in and through all that you say think and do. You know, it's interesting. You cannot but transmit the fullness of who you are and what you are, no matter how minimal the action is or how casual the word is. What you are communicates to the whole of creation, to the entire collective of consciousness, always and for eternity. But only the loving thoughts that you give and the loving that you extend, you take with you into eternity. All of the lesser things are burned up. These are the works called the works of straw and wood and things of that nature that are consumed in the fire at the end of a great cycle of manifestation, which is called in Sanskrit Manvantara. It's a cycle, a cosmic cycle of manifestation. So all the works of chaff that are not imbued with the divine quality of divine love and selflessness, those are consumed, and you take only the pure gold with you into the higher levels. So, you give of your overflowing of riches and wealth and of abundance in many, many, in many forms. And they're always teaching, learning situations, however you are funding energy. If you, when I was very young, I had the feeling about myself that I was always enacting a role, that there were those that were watching, and I was enacting the role of how things should be done. Not that I knew as a young child how things should be done, but this was my awareness of myself as a, oh gosh, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. This was my sense of self, that there was someone watching and that I had to demonstrate the highest way I could possibly do something. And I still have that feeling to a much lesser extent, because it's become more my nature to do the best I can with whatever I'm dealt. You know, I don't think about it anymore. So these things, as you begin to integrate the spiritual consciousness, become so much your nature that inner and outer becomes an obsolete metaphor for your sense of self. Praying and not praying becomes you just don't think in terms anymore of isolating these things. It becomes a unified flow of divine expression. And it just simply becomes that which is, the isness that you are. So your smile, your kindness, your love, your humor, your goodwill, your encouragement are all manifestations of that divine wealth of spirit that you bring to bear in your lifetime. And we haven't even started talking about money yet. You know, somebody asked me the other day, what do you do? And you know how different people will evoke different responses from you. Well, I found myself responding to this person by saying, I'm a water girl. And this was met by, as you could understand, a quizzical look. So I added, I'm a chalice of living water, and I dispense this living water to whomever comes to me thirsty, so that they will not thirst again. And of course, this is a play on the words that Jesus uttered to the woman at the well. But in a sense, he was speaking for the collective sonship, because he knew one day we would all grow up after his image and likeness. We would all become co-equal heirs and co-equal sons of God, the same as our elder brother Jesus, who set the template. So he was foretelling what we were all designed to be, chalices of living water. We're all water girls and water boys, dispensing the living waters to whomever comes to us thirsty, so they will not thirst again. We are all chalices. And let me explain a little bit the esoteric meaning of chalice in terms of your body of light. The upper chakras of the body, from the heart center up, form what is called a chalice effect. And that that chalice then becomes filled with the living water of the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, Divine Spirit. And that is actually the true esoteric meaning of the Holy Grail. It's not a cup used at the Last Supper, and it's not even the womb of Mary Magdalene. It's actually every man and woman on the planet who has realized that they are a chalice of living water and have become that. And, of course, that's a metaphor for the Aquarian water bearer. When it's interesting, in the Bible, it's a man that the apostles follow that is carrying the water. And in the East, in Israel, it was always the women who carried the water. So when we see the man, we recognize that Aquarius is the masculine energy. It's the energy also of the collective proactive Christ light or Christ consciousness that we become as the collective water bearer. So we're not only fishers of men, we become those who parch the thirst of mankind in the new Aquarian understanding and template. So the chalice is actually a manifestation of what's called the seed body or the causal body. In fact, in the great cosmic causal plane is actually the plane which they call the plane of soul in classic esoteric parlance. So you take to eternity the deposits that are made in those higher chakra alignments, and that's what you take with you into eternity. And when you're an old soul and you incarnate and you already have a very full chalice, then you're somebody like Mother Teresa of Calcutta, or any one of the great souls that is a dispenser of this largesse of spirit. And there are many, many on the planet today. So, like our light wattage, we are at various stages of infilling. And there are some who are very, very rich in their overflow, and some that are in the process of filling. It says in the Bible that the Spirit of the living God will well up from our innermost parts and bubble forth in a continual outflow and inflow. So there's a constant replenishment as that energy flows and then is restored and flows and then is restored. And that's, of course, that living water that Jesus the Christ modeled so perfectly for us all. There's also a need for discernment and balance when it comes to giving. You know, both Buddha and Krishna spoke of the importance of the time, place, location, as well as the motive behind the giving of our gifts, and also the appropriateness of giving the gift to a particular person. The right gift given at the wrong time to a person not prepared to receive the gift or with an ego-tainted motive will bear ill or no fruit. A good example that comes to my mind, when I was very young in my early trips to India and very ignorant of the culture, I would go out very rarely outside the ashram, but when I did, there was a winsome little girl that used to follow me. She was about 5 years old. And one day I thought I would do a good thing, and I bought her a whole loaf of bread. Well, as soon as I gave it into her little hands, a whole bunch of street urchins just descended on her all at one time. And then, unfortunately, I heard the next day that a little girl had been killed in the village, and I never saw that little girl again. And I always had the feeling that she probably had met an ill end because of the loaf of bread. And you see, there was an entire service organization that took responsibility for feeding and clothing the poor in that village. But being an ignorant Westerner, I didn't know that. And there's also, they say never to give money to beggars in India because, or anywhere else for that matter, but I'm talking about living in India in Sai Baba's ashram, because they're all given food and clothing and, in many cases, plots of land and a cow and a house, and they have free medical care. They have everything they need. But they will prey on the ignorance of the naivete of the Westerners, and they'll sit outside and beg and even sometimes maim and cripple their children to evoke sympathy of gullible Westerners. And even when they were offered jobs, they didn't want the jobs. They wanted to, you know, perpetrate the life of beggary. So I think this is what Jesus was referring to when Mary was criticized for anointing his feet with the expensive spikenard. And he said, the poor you will have with you always, but me you will only have for a short while. So in other words, leave her alone, because her name will go down in history for what she's doing now. And of course, symbolically, she was anointing him for his burial. So the point here is sometimes your good intentions, given in the wrong way at the wrong time to the wrong person in the wrong context, produces terrible results. Another example comes to mind of a young boy, a Westerner, that was in Sai Baba's ashram. And again, without seeking counsel of Sai Baba or his permission or checking out to see if it was a good thing to do or not, he went ahead and took his Western bucks and had a well drilled, which he placed strategically between two villages, thinking in his Western rationale that both villages would be able to draw from that well. Well, because he was ignorant of the culture and the practices of the villagers, he happened to place that well right between two villages that would never drink from the other's well. They wouldn't eat food from each other's fields. They would not drink from each other's wells. They would not intermarry. You know, it's a very strong caste system in many places in the world, and that can flow into to villages and everything. Anyway, it spawned this terrible fight and became a huge war zone between these two villagers until finally the well was, filled in, destroyed, and then they went back to where it was they were getting their water before. So you really need to use your head when you're giving and to be aware and get some understanding of the cultural traditions and boundaries. If, for example, you're serving on a mission in a foreign land. So just don't be an ignorant do-gooder. But begin to also blend that with common sense and sensitivity to the very real differences that people have in the different places in the world. There's also a need for personal balance. You must take care of watering your own field first before you began to water another's. So give of your abundance into your own ability, your own chalice, and then allow the overflow to be that which you give of, not the bottom of the barrel. And keep yourself in balance. We have the need here to take into consideration our physical body, our gender, our health level, our strength, and exactly what we can cope with in terms of where we are in our personal health and in terms of our age, and the age and health and energy level appropriate for your stage in life. Mentally, too, you have to take into consideration. What are your skills? What can you give of that is truly and authentically helpful? And not just something that you read in a book and then try to espouse. The real teacher of the times is the one who teaches from experience and not one that has read a book and then just parrots the book. You can teach a parrot to do that. So, and then the spiritual levels. You'll have nothing to give if you don't keep your cup filled. If you don't keep your tank full of gas, you're not going to get very far. And if it's all work and giving physically, you're going to burn yourself out. If it's all giving intellectually and mentally, you're going to puff up like a little blowfish with pride and self-importance. And if you're giving spiritually without taking care of the physical and the other levels, you're going to blow away because there won't be any anchor in the physical. So physical health, mental direction and equipoise, and spiritual infilling are absolutely mandatory if you want to actually be a source for the source to source others with abundance and riches and wealth. Now, your soul memories are conditioned by your actions, your beliefs, and your behavior in general. We've seen Dr. Emoto in his photography of water that had been frozen after certain sentiments and words were spoken over it. And so we know from a very graphic sense what the effects of thoughts, intention, and words spoken into water does, what it looks like, and how cells are filled with water, like in a battery. So we are 90% water. Our body is 90% water. So you can see how quickly we cause the water in our cells and our body to become unstructured by wrong speech and wrong thoughts and wrong actions. In other words, actions that are not in attunement and alignment with divine source. All babies are born with structured water, and which looks like a perfect Metatron cube, you know, like the six-pointed star. And then it quickly becomes unstructured as it starts to hear the speech around it, and it starts to eat the food that's been prepared by people who are in anger and various other unbalanced states, until pretty soon illness enters in, and entropy. And that's what causes the aging and the disease process and eventually the death of the physical body. So if we could reverse all of that and not go there, of course we would find it unnecessary to drop the body in death. We would transcend death, like Jesus did. And like Elijah and, Enoch. So to begin to repattern and retrain cellular memory and retract it from the negative conditioning and lack and limitation, you need to try to do the exact opposite, take the exact opposite approach to what you've always habitually said, thought, and done. For example, begin doing a thorough self-examination of your habits. You're going to have to just kind of put in reserve, put in storage, cold storage, your judge, your judgment, and your critiquer, and just be the objective observer and track yourself. See your habits. And let's take the obvious area which comes to mind when we hear the words abundance, riches, and wealth, money. An abundant person tends to act abundantly and to give generously in every area of life. So ask yourself, do you give a dollar, for example, when you go to your place of worship? Or do you really dig in and make a sacrificial offering because you value what you've received there? Do you resent it when you have to give money to someone who's done a spiritual healing or given you a class or some knowledge, who has counseled with you for hours on the phone? Have you ever thought to give them a donation because you value their time, you value their energy, you value their understanding and knowledge? As we move into the golden age, those are the skills that people are going to need more than any material skill. They're going to need people who are integrated and illumined that have wisdom. And like anyone else, those people need to be supported. They have to eat and pay rent and gas and take care of children and families like anyone else. So do you support the spiritual sources that support you? What you support supports you. Are you honoring with your substance those people who keep you attuned to your higher potential? The universe rewards action, not thought. All the good intentions in the world are, you know, they're like puff and fluff. They're like that stuff that you blow off the dandelion puff. It's what you do that counts. So the universe supports your self-definition of who you believe you are, how you see yourself, and how you define yourself. And how you act and how you speak trumpets your self-definition. So as you define yourself, the universe just simply reflects and rebounds to you your own self-definition. You may have wondered, as I did initially, in the Bible where it says, to the rich more will be given, and to the poor even the little they have will be taken away. Well, why? Well, your generosity notifies the universe that you are a source of abundance, and so it gives you more abundance for you to source abundantly to others. And your lack perpetrates more lack. So, another Bible scripture that comes to my mind as I'm speaking here is the one that says, it is measured out to you in the same measure as you measure it out. So if your measure is meager, then you'll reap in meager return. And if lavish, then you will reap in lavish measure. So you receive an exact proportion of what you give out. And in terms of abundance, you simply can't fool the universe. You know, there's no way to lie about what you really, really believe about yourself. It just is so energetically communicated to the all it is. So it's important to study yourself and be absolutely honest in where you have set your limits. And where you speak lack and limitation. Sometimes people will call me on the phone and they'll say, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have any money. I said, how can that be? Have you eaten today? Oh, yes. I ate. Did you have a place to sleep last night? Well, yeah, I had a place to sleep. Are you still in your home? Well, yes, I have my home. Do you have gas in your car? Well, yeah, you have a car. Yes. And assumedly, you have a telephone because you're talking to me. So how can you say you don't have any money? And I found out one of these people was living off the interest of, I don't know how many, thousands of dollars that they had in the bank. And I had to laugh, you know. It's like people are always talking about lack, which is totally in their head. It doesn't exist. It's a self-definition and error. And if you truly want to be abundant, you will jettison that attitude from this moment on, and you'll never go there. Another person is constantly saying how they can't afford good food, but they can afford all sorts of other things. But they're not worth enough to themselves to feed their bodies the best. Isn't that interesting? What are they saying to the universe? I'm not worth being taken care of. I have so little value, I don't even value my own life. So I do all the things to destroy my health, so I will die really soon. That's really, really a sad statement. Do you drink? Do you smoke? Do you take drugs? Even though you know these things will lead to an earlier demisal, can you say you love and honor the temple of God that you are if you do those things? I mean, think about it really seriously. What are you communicating by your actions? Do you really love, respect, and honor yourself? And if you don't, how is anyone else? You are the one that put it there. You are the one that decides. You are the one that orchestrates how you move in the world and the response you get. Someday, everyone will realize they did it all. They created it all. They perpetrated it all. There was never at any point any other, only you, deprive yourself of you. You know, there's a small lesson in the Course in Miracles I'd like to share with you here. Actually, several. This is from the workbook, lesson 251, 252, 253, and 254. I am in need of nothing but the truth. I sought for many things and found despair. Now do I seek but one, for that is all I need and only what I need. The Son of God is my identity. Myself is holy beyond all the thoughts of holiness, of which I now can see. Its shimmering and perfect purity is far more brilliant than is any light that I have ever looked upon. Its love is limitless, with an intensity that holds all things within it. In the calm of quiet certainty, its strength comes not from burning impulses which move the world, but from the boundless love of God Himself. How far beyond this world myself must be, and yet how near to me and close to God. Myself is the ruler of the universe. It is impossible that anything should come to me unbidden by myself. Even in this world, it is I who rule my destiny. What happens is what I desire. What does not happen is what I do not want to happen. This I must accept. For thus I am led past this world to my creation, children of my will, in heaven, where my holy self abides with them and Him who has created me. Father, you are the self whom you created, Son, creating like yourself and one with you, myself. Myself, which rules the universe, is but your will in perfect union with my own, which can but offer glad assent to yours, that it may be extended to itself. Let every voice but God's be still in me. Father, today I would but hear your voice. In deepest silence, I would come to you to hear your voice and to receive your word. I have no prayer but this. I come to ask you for the truth. And truth is but your will, which I would share with you today. Today we let no ego thoughts direct our words or actions. When such thoughts occur, we quietly step back and look at them, and then we let them go. We do not want what they would bring with them, and so we do not choose to keep them. They are silent now, and in the stillness, hallowed by His love, God speaks to us and tells us of our will, as we have chosen to remember Him. Ah. So as you observe your habits, pay attention and see if you're using money fearlessly or generously in a way that the universe sees you as abundant. If you're doing this, you're experiencing an abundant life right now. And wherever you find that fear and a sense of lack and limitation have confined you to a less than abundant expression, determine the exact opposite behavior and try that instead. Realize that no one deprives you of anything and no one sets the limits but you. Know that you have in your life what you do believe you deserve. Your life is a demonstration of your self-worth and also your value system. And just because you can afford to live like a Maharaja doesn't necessarily mean that you will want or even choose to live in a luxurious manner. You may find a greater purpose in funding and supporting the dreams and lives of others. So each finds their point of balance according to their personal value system. You know, I was thinking tonight, who really, to me, represents someone who's found a really good balance of that and is a light worker, and I thought of Oprah. So I think Oprah Winfrey serves as a good example of a person who has attained a very healthy balance with regard to abundance, riches, and wealth, and one I believe we can all benefit and learn from. And she certainly is a person who gives freely, and yet they say she's one of the most wealthy women in the entire world. So it's interesting because she gives generously and fearlessly and does many good things with her influence and her abundance and brings to people's awareness many things that normally would be kept under the carpet, like the hippo in the corner sort of thing. She, you know, she brings it out and is often criticized for it, but you see, she is a soul that will not compromise the truth of her message to curry, you know, someone's favor and opinion. She's true to herself in that. Another good example. So money is the physical manifestation of the third ray of energy of intelligent activity, and in itself it's a totally neutral energy. It's neither good nor bad, but it becomes conditioned only by the attitude that a person has towards it. So that's another area to check. What is your attitude towards abundance, riches, wealth, and money? You know, as one example of the material wealth, what is money to you? How do you feel about money? Did you ever find yourself in a situation where you had done a favor for someone and it actually put you out? You know, you you maybe spent money you didn't have to accommodate their need. And then they turn around and say, well, here's, you know, 10 bucks or 20 bucks or whatever. And you push it away and you say, no, I don't want anything. What is that saying? You would take their gratitude. You would take a cake. You would take a hug. You would take a handshake. You would take a favor in return, but you won't take their money. Hello? Is money different in an expression of gratitude as to a hug or a cake or an invitation to dinner? You see what I'm saying? So do you see money as a tool to use in creating a more abundant life for all? How can you do anything if you don't have money? I think one of the most disempowering things is to create a lifestyle where you don't have any wiggle room. You don't have the money to do what you really want to do or to have, you know, even though you created it that way. You can uncreate it, too. You can choose again. That's the good news. You can always reinvent yourself and choose again. So do you self-sabotage your own abundance by seeing money as somehow unspiritual and unworthy of your attention? I know, my gosh, I was guilty of that for years. You know, the typical Indian yogi's attitude towards money and abundance and wealth. And so I'm doing this seminar for me more than anyone else, I think, tonight, although I've come a long, long way in reinventing my attitudes about all of that. And another area, do you resent, envy, and criticize those spiritual people who are also very successful and wealthy? If you have envy, I can guarantee you that when you hear that someone is doing really well financially, you'll notice a sense of sadness or fear or depression and discontent start to seep into your gut if you have envy. You know, and if it is, it is. Look at it. Really look at it if you feel uncomfortable. And really watch it if you find yourself bad-mouthing some minister or some spiritual leader who is very wealthy, doing really well, sitting on top of the world, doing what you wish you could do, and yet you envy the heck out of them because you're not doing it, and they are, and they're abundant, and you're not. So look carefully at those areas, very carefully, because they undermine your own abundance, and they also communicate to the universe that you're resentful and envious and not very successful and certainly not abundant because you want to deprive yourself and those other forms. See, that's the rub. There's only one. There's only God. So what you deny another, you're actually denying yourself. You're actually condemning God when you condemn and criticize another. And likewise, don't go on a rant about what's wrong with the world. How do you know what's wrong with the world? You don't even know what's wrong with your own world. So leave the world to God. And just tend to your own 10 acres. Keep them well watered with that living water. Keep yourself really well nourished by partaking of the bread of life. Keep yourself really green and verdant with the abundance of a loving and beautiful and flourishing and healthy spiritual consciousness and environment. And give whatever you've got to give. Give it lavishly. Give it generously. Give it without any stinting, without any sense of, I'm going to lose, I'm not going to have. Because in the new paradigm, you give first to demonstrate that you have received. It's just the opposite of the ego's way of doing things. So you have to give first. You have to sow seed first. You have to tithe first. You have to donate first. You have to invest yourself first. And then the rest is added unto you. That's the new paradigm. That's what we're here to teach. And we teach by learning, and we learn by teaching. So teach what you would have true for yourself and learn so that you can understand who you are and what life is all about. And you can experience the oneness of God and the abundance and riches and wealth that is there for everyone. And then the world will be fine, because if we just take care of this sense of separation, with that all greed is ended, all wars are ended, all fighting over what belongs to who is ended, all lack is ended, all diseases that are caused from stress and worry and concern and anxiety and fear are ended, and the whole planet begins to flourish in the golden age. That's how it's going to get here, folks. Through you and me becoming sources, divine sources for abundance and riches and wealth. Because that is the divine life, more abundant. That is our heritage. So I think as a light worker, you're going to find yourself having plenty of material here to work on. I know I certainly do. And just again, look at your attitudes about, you know, what you have and what you think you don't have and what others have. And remember, for many of us in the light team, this is the first time that we have had a lifetime in the outer world, and that we have descended out of our Himalayan cages, caves and ashrams, and have entered everyday life, where money is the necessary medium of exchange, and for accomplishing anything of good that we would wish to see implemented on this earth. So it's something that we absolutely have to deal with. So we can't be self-righteous and judge the world and others in it. Because the minute you judge and you act self-righteously, you block yourself from your abundance and you close the ears of whomever you're trying to reach, because nobody wants to be found wrong. Nobody wants another person lording it over them and judging and critiquing how they live their lives. So we have to really be vigilant again about correcting ourselves, but leaving others to you know, share the good news with them, share good things with them, empower them to be the best they can be. But know if they knew better, they would do better. So don't criticize them if they're still on a baby step and you're in a full stride. And some of you might say, well, I'm a stay-at-home wife and mother, or a single working parent. That's all I can do to put food on the table. Well, you go to shop for that food. So each time you shop, buy a can of beans or something and donate it to your local food pantry. You can do that. And you can recycle your children's clothes, cribs, strollers, car seats. Create a circle of other mothers and keep that cycle going. So there's so many things we can do. And if your supermarket doesn't have one of those food bank bins, ask them to put one in. Go to the manager and say, put one in. So these are things that we can do that begin to demonstrate that we have more than enough and we can share with others, even if it's just a can of beans. So remember, another law of the universe is what you make happen for another, the universe will make happen for you, which is just another variation of the golden rule. So in other words, act abundant, act rich, act wealthy, so that the universe gets the message. And remember, the key in all of this is simply, you must give first, and that proves to the universe that you are abundant, rich, and wealthy. So I hope that has given you some guidelines for an area that we're all, every one of us, working to master. And let's go out tonight chanting Ahu. Take a deep breath. Ahu. God bless you, and God willing, I will be speaking to you next week. Adonai.